Hi, my name's Tash, and I'm an alcoholic.
And my name's Caitlin, and I am not an alcoholic. And this is an exploratory podcast looking at alcoholism, mental health, and addiction within the arts, and all the things that make us question,
why am I like this? What is up, Caitlin?
Not much. What's up with you?
Oh my God, so much. I just feel like every time, the time between podcasts feels like it gets longer and longer and like more and more and more happens in between each one. It's insanity.
Yeah.
I've had a full emotional breakdown and recovery in the time since we last recorded. Like, it's a wild time.
Insane, yeah. In the membrane.
That's all good. It's a good time. What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? It's a very good question. A lot less than November.
That's great. Good
it's
for you.
A Christmas miracle.
As you can tell. We're allowed to talk about Christmas.
Yeah,
now.
We're now allowed to talk about Christmas, that it is officially December and I am no longer a Grinch going bah humbug. Yeah, I've been able to read a little bit.
Nice.
I've finally cleaned my room.
Hell yes. I was living for those updates. You did a great job. You should be proud.
Oh, it looks so good.
I think it's a thing you need to do before the new year, isn't it? It's a good,
100%.
Like,
yeah. And it's in preparation for my parents come and my mum can't be like, what is this? And
I'll
be like,
you live in squalor.
It's fine now. I do need to do a final cull of a couple things. And my bed keeps moving every time I get on it. It's just
weird.
A time. Yeah.
You need like little rubber feeties.
Have rubber feeties on there. I think I need more expensive rubber feeties than the $5 ones you get from Kmart.
What about, I'm sure there's a Craft Logic way to fix this. Look, I'll think about it.
Love it. But yeah,
nice. Ryan, what's up? What are you doing?
Yo. What am I doing?
What's your last 2 weeks been like?
Last 2 weeks, I played a couple of gigs with Seabass.
You did. You had some good Seabass gigs, actually.
They were fun.
Yeah.
Did you see me playing guitar and stuff?
Yeah.
I was having some fun.
Actually, I want to make a note on that, Ryan. I've noticed that you seem to be a lot less in your head playing guitar for Seabass. Like,
oh my God, yeah.
I've noticed you like really getting into it. Like, I feel like you're losing yourself in the music a lot more and you look like you're having a great time up there.
Yeah. It hasn't been since like high school when I've like actually disrespected my guitar in that way for the better.
Well, you're killing it.
But I think it serves the purpose of the band. So, done that. I played with my band, RMJ, our big comeback gig.
Hell yeah.
Worked all year on those songs and finally unveiled them to the general public.
What was that like? Do you get like a fear?
Oh my God. Yeah, I have no idea.
I mean, I think I do, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, you probably do.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Well, there was a lot of stuff because I orchestrate everything in that band.
Oh, wow.
To be honest with you, the performance, I think we did really well, but I was kind of in my head about that one because there's just so much going on in that set, so much technical crap. So I kind of, it sort of disconnected me from the performance, if I'm to be very candid about it. But I thought we did really well. But yeah, that's just something I've got to work on, I guess. But yeah, I thought it was a great gig. Everyone seemed to take to the new songs really well.
Good.
And yeah, other than that, nothing, just the normal stuff, recording some new Seabass. recording new RMJ actually as well.
Fun.
Yeah, and just wrapping up studies for TAFE, which has been a, you know, breath of fresh air.
Yeah. So will you guys both get a bit of a break over the Christmas period?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, nice. Caitlin's not so sure.
I have a tendency of every time I have spare time, I'm like, how can I feel this? And it's not even conscious half the time.
Yeah.
I just kind of look down one day and I'm like, oh, we're busy again.
Oh, it's so busy.
Whoops.
all of a sudden, I've got five things on today.
But no, I think I should be able to have a bit of a break. I'm just like waiting for things to get confirmed, which I hate. I hate waiting for things.
Yeah.
I'm not very patient.
No. I'm a lot more patient now. I'm sober. I have to be.
Yeah. Ryan.
Yes.
With RMJ, I think we were talking about it a couple months ago where you were saying that you were just a bit like tired of the stuff you'd made.
Mm.
did performing it live change your attitudes towards it?
I don't know whether that was in reference to my old stuff, the way I was talking about that. Or maybe it was because I've gotten to a point where I'm mixing a new single and it's kind of reached a bit of a dead end.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But I've recently started remixing that and I've overcome that.
Rejuvenated.
Rejuvenated. Right. And, yeah, it's sounding really good. So, yeah, I mean, like, at the end of all of that, suffice to say that I'm fucking stoked about where everything is at the moment.
That's good.
Yeah. Excellent.
So, yeah.
Being an artist is stressful.
Mm. Oh, my God. It is.
Ryan, I just feel like you're really feeling frustrated.
But, like, that's part of the joy of it.
Yeah.
And you capitalize on those troughs. You're like, well, I'm feeling shit. I'm going to go write a song about it. And then that's going to be a product of, like, shitty negativity.
Yeah. Art therapy. Yeah. That's a fucking thing.
Yeah.
Actually, I had a really great moment the other day where I was just talking with Annie and I don't know, I'm reading a lot of, like, crap in the headlines about, you know, the government and all that crap.
Mm. Fun.
And I wrote a lyric down in my phone where I write all my lyrics and stuff, and it was just a line that just says, I don't believe in anything anymore.
Mm.
And it was kind of this, like, happy sort of realization that I'm very much out of control of things affecting me. And now it's time to capitalize on that negativity once again. It's like, well, let's fucking steer that into something.
Yeah. Okay.
You know? So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm in a really great, melancholy, bittersweet headspace at the moment. But, like, I feel like the well is back and filled up again sort of thing.
You're such a muser.
I know. I want to make art about it. I want to make art.
That's good.
So,
that's good.
Yeah, I'm happy.
I feel like that can be sometimes a hard thing for artists is not to play on that tortured artist thing.
Mm,
when you do start feeling more positive and better, it can be hard to channel that because you're so used to, you know, the opposite direction.
Yeah.
But I guess this is like a nice change for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cute.
How's your last 2 weeks been, Tash?
Rough. Like, coming into Christmas, I just, every year since for as long as I could remember, every time it kind of gets into that Christmassy spirit, I'm a bit like, Grinchy McGrincheson. I just don't want to do it. I just wish it didn't exist. I don't like spending time with my family.
Yeah, I was going to say, for the record, in terms of Grinchy McGrinch, Tash is currently wearing a pin that is a Christmas tree that is like green and sparkly, but in bright red letters says, I hate Xmas.
It's House of Dizzy.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm in a little Christmas outfit today because I hosted a Christmas workshop. Like, I'm happy to spread cheer to other people. I just don't want their cheer. Like, I don't want it. I'm happy in my little miserable bubble.
Yeah.
I'm not miserable. Like, I was pretty rough last year.
Mm.
Last year was my first sober Christmas. I was still very much in the early months of my destroyed ankle.
Yeah.
So I was still in a moon boot. I think I'd only had my first surgery. I wasn't walking. I was still super, super medicated on Endone all the time. So, yeah, very disconnected from sort of reality.
Yeah.
Which sucks, and just in so much pain all the time. And then I guess all the anxiety of also being sober, and then all the anxiety that I already had about Christmas and all of this like repressed trauma shit. And I was just like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess in my family, not participating has never been an option.
Okay.
You participate. Do you know what I mean? You show up. You get involved, you smile politely, you do what you're told, you don't interrupt, you don't say anything that'll offend anyone, and you behave and go home.
Mm.
And that doesn't work for me anymore. For the first time in a really, really long time, I have what I feel like is a really true sense of self, and I'm not going to let anyone fuck with that.
Yeah.
And I think that is the most important message that I can sort of give today in today's episode is – if you are sober, trying to be sober, trying to work on your mental health, whatever it is, you come first. Your autonomy comes first. Your recovery, sobriety, and quote unquote journey is the most important thing. Like, literally no one, like, not even your grandma, comes before that.
Mm.
And that can be really hard to accept. And I think you have to have a certain amount of self-love and pride in what you're doing to stick to that, because it is really easy to sort of fold and just do things for other people or not do things with your best intentions in mind. But those things often, whether it's immediately or down the line, lead to distress or emotional distress or unspoken issues or whatever it is.
Yeah.
My mum or my parents asked me the inevitable question that I knew was coming about Christmas.
Yes.
And like where I would be and where I would be spending time with them. And usually every year we spend Christmas with my best friend Lara and her family.
Okay.
Which is a tradition that we've done for as long as I can remember. And it's all of our family friends, you know, it's like a big catch up. I was always a bit of a different, like I've always been a bit different, even as a child. You know, Lara, my parents, our parents always make the jokes that like they would both send us outside. We'd be outside for the same amount of time and Lara would come in caked in mud from top to toe and I'd come in perfectly pristine and we'd been both playing the same way. Like, you're just, yeah. And so I like never really fit in with like the kids, like playing like a kid or being really like young like a child. I always sort of felt that it was important for me to be well-behaved and be quiet, and like respect and behavior is a really big thing in my family.
Yeah.
And I was raised, I would say, quite strict and with quite a stern upbringing. I'm semi-grateful for it because I think tough love made me, yeah, it gave me a thick skin. It made me really able to deal with a lot of bullshit in life, and I do think that I can cope with unexpected things really well, and I think, yeah, I'm a good disaster coping person. So normally for Christmas we would be at the King's.
Yeah.
And I never really felt like I fit in there even as a child, but as I've gotten older and gotten more uncomfortable around other people drinking and around boisterous adults, the more I've left a little bit earlier, snuck out, you know, here or there, or made my excuses. But our friends are going away. So They're going to be in the UK, in Wales, having a great time. I know I shit on Wales, but they will have a beautiful time in the Christmas snow, hopefully. But my mum asked what I was doing and I tried to politely explain that I wouldn't be attending. It really upset her. There were tears and I think a real miscommunication. I think, you know, she said that the meaning that she took from that situation was that I never wanted to spend time with my family ever again and that I wanted to cut them out. And that's not what I was saying. I understand why she heard that. That's clearly, you know, if we go back to what we were talking about last episode and finding the wound.
Yeah.
I can stop and consider, well, yes, so she's hurt and she's upset, but why? Is it because I've said that I don't want to attend this Christmas, or is it because she thinks that she would lose me forever?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the real issue here? Yeah, it was not a great conversation, but luckily I had therapy the next day and got to talk it out. And my therapist said something that really, really, really resonated with me, and I hope that can help a lot of people as well that might have difficult relationships with their family or other loved ones. But she said, your parents are going to be disappointed and upset no matter what you do. So you might as well just do what you want.
Yeah.
And it just was like a little light bulb. And I was like, you're so right. Like, I'm not a kid anymore. They can't ground me. Like, they can be disappointed and they can have a reaction and they can have an emotion. But as long as I go into things calmly, carefully, and respectfully and honestly, then I've got nothing to fear and I shouldn't be held accountable for the way they react to something. So on my psychologist's advice, I wrote an email to my parents, finally telling them that, you know, I was a diagnosed alcoholic and that I'd been in recovery for 16 months, that I wouldn't be able to make Christmas because of past traumas and triggers. Mm-hmm. And I'm offered an alternative time to meet up. And I explained that I didn't mean to upset them and I didn't mean anything harsh by it, and just, it was like my big moment, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, it was my big coming out. And I know that we sort of talked about this on the podcast of me not wanting to tell my parents. And yeah, like I didn't plan for it. Like it just sort of happened.
Yeah.
So I guess I sent that email and was really nervous. I don't have the kind of relationship with my family where I could just pick up the phone and call them. That wasn't an option. Or to tell them in person wasn't really an option either if I wanted to be heard and if I wanted what I'd said to be remembered correctly.
Yep.
It was really important that it was written down so that I have quote-unquote proof.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you have relationships with people that are sometimes difficult and you find that they tend to misremember arguments or misremember situations, shooting an email through is even just to – I know it sounds really meeting and office-like, but even just to recap conversations.
Yeah.
Like, even a text, like, hey, thanks for chatting to me about this today. Like, reiterate your point, reiterate what you said, reiterate that you understand what they said.
Mm.
Just so that it's everything's clear and sort of wrapped up. So that's what I tried to do. It was really terrifying and I felt really anxious and I just was anxiously checking my phone, waiting for replies. But I just honestly had no idea what that response was going to be. I guess my greatest fear was that they wouldn't take me seriously or really believe me. And I guess, unfortunately, that is what kind of happened. I got a reply a couple of days later just sort of saying that they were hoping that I battled my demons, etc., you know, cliche about mental health. But they were kind of disappointed in me that I'd upset them. Mum was disappointed that I'd upset her. I don't think they didn't acknowledge what I'd said about being an alcoholic. They didn't acknowledge my recovery, my desire to change. I mean, they didn't really acknowledge anything, to be honest. And that was really upsetting when I got it initially. It's a conversation I have been trying to have with them over the last 14 years. And it kind of felt like, okay, third time's the charm. Like, you know, I'm an adult now. Like I'm nearly 30 and I know how to speak to them now and I know how to like control my emotions and this is how I'm going to get through to them. And it's hard because I think when you don't want to hear something or when you don't want to believe something, your mind can do amazing gymnastics to not hear the thing.
Mm.
And I understand that they don't want to hear that I'm an alcoholic and they don't want to believe that and they don't want to accept that. And accepting that does probably mean a reflection on themselves, which they're not ready to do. And that's not my responsibility. Like, it's so shit and it's so lonely. And like, there is, like I've never felt less a part of my family. Like nobody seems to have any desire to see things from my perspective or to try. And that's really disappointing. But yeah, like I said, like my recovery is the most important thing. Like I can't get better with my family behaving the way they behave. And if they don't or if they can't hear me now, well, then maybe after some space, they'll be able to reevaluate. It's shitty. And I think that I'm sure there are lots of other people who have been in my position, especially with sexuality, you know, coming out to your parents, and a lot of people whose parents are sort of in denial about it. And you can't force people to see your truth. And, you know, if you've ever had an experience with being gaslit or gaslighting, like that's a really shitty topic as well, you know. But like in my circumstance, I think I read that reply from my family and I was like, oh yeah, like this is the way that they've always spoken to me. Like this actually isn't okay. And I wasn't imagining it. And I wasn't looking back on my childhood with this weird warped view. Like this is what happened. Like I was right, you know? And it was almost as heartbreaking and upsetting it was almost a little bit validating because, you know, I was sort of like, well, yeah, this is exactly what I said was happened.
Mm.
And like, as much as that's a shitty outcome, like it was a little bit like, I was just saying, I told you so to myself in a way. This is why we don't try new things. No. You know? But it is amazing to me how just saying, because they were the only people that didn't know.
Yeah.
My parents, you know, like I've got a fucking public podcast that goes out to thousands of people about it, but my parents don't know.
Yeah.
Or understand. And, you know, Peter Ann, who is my boss, who I've spoken about before, who is sober and also an incredible, incredible help and support to me, spoke to me about it and reminded me, which is really a bit depressing, but again, like her people would consider her brutal the same way they consider me brutal, I think, Peter Ann. And she sort of reminded me that parents don't always change.
No.
And she kind of empathized with me about her situation. And I guess I had accidentally let my mind think, oh, what if it all works out? And maybe if I tell my mom, this will be the push she needs. And maybe we'll all like... And I don't think I was really considering those things really seriously, but I was definitely letting hope seep in.
Yeah.
And I guess that's because I've been feeling so confident and positive in my recovery.
Mm.
Got me crashing back down to earth pretty quick.
Yeah.
I did reply saying that my feelings were hurt, that they didn't acknowledge me. I asked them to consider the implications if I hadn't chosen this path. You know, I think one of the things my mum said was that I couldn't possibly understand what it was like to hear that, you know, your daughter doesn't want to see you. And I understand that, but I need her to think about what it would be like if she got a call saying that I had overdosed or killed myself or had run away. Like, I'm pretty sure those would be worse. Like, And so I think it's just a matter of her needing to prioritize and take me seriously. And I'm not sure what that would take. Probably a lot of reflection on their half, and they might not be able to do it ever. And that's just something I'll have to work through.
Yeah.
Which is really hard. And I guess that comes into what we were talking about last week as well, about toxic people and how and when, why you can get rid of them.
Yeah.
Sometimes when they're your parents, it's not that easy.
No. Two things. One, it's okay to have felt hopeful during that and imagining that. I think that's very innately human.
I felt dumb. When I realized I'd been hopeful, I felt dumb. Because I didn't realize I'd let it sneak in.
Yeah, of course.
Like, it was like a little like glowing bit in my heart that was like, ooh, maybe.
Yeah, which is okay. And two, I think I need to reiterate how proud I am of you.
Thanks, Caitlin.
Yeah. And how, I think blessed is the word I want, but like that sort of feeling of being able to part of this. Yeah, we are. And three, I know I said two things. Three, for those listening, if any of this does resonate with you, you can email us. I know that some people may be going through the same things or may not feel like they have anyone who trusts them or believe what they're saying, but we will.
Yes, we believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess it's hard, but I think families as well are the most difficult, and coming into Christmas, it's almost impossible to avoid them.
Yeah, definitely.
But I guess something to try, and something I guess I wish I had done in the past, is try not to bring up. I know that these things all come to a head around Christmas.
Yeah.
But just try so hard not to bring it up.
Mm.
Like, it will cause conflict. It will look like it's your fault.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the one that brings up whatever the situation is and it's not received well, that is a reflection on you. As unfair and unfortunate as that is, you just need to protect yourself.
Yeah.
If you're the odd one out in your family, if you're the black sheep, if you're the queer, if you're the loud one or whatever it is, protect yourself.
Yes.
In any way you need to. And I think volunteering is such a great legitimate way to get out of a family event.
Yeah.
Like, what are they going to say?
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm sorry, I'm going to go do good deeds for others. Like,
yes.
There are so many places that you can volunteer on Christmas Day or over the Christmas period.
Mm.
There are so many things that you can do. Even maybe if you want to suggest a family activity, putting together packages, like sanitary packages for women, like homeless women, packages that you can send abroad for like children, you know, including clothing, toys, hygiene products and things like that. You can do all those things with your family, make a nice like feel good activity.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we don't celebrate Thanksgiving in Australia, but I imagine a lot of Australians use Christmas as that sort of time of reflection.
Yes. I think another way to kind of, for lack of a better phrase, escape your family on Christmas is go for your chosen family.
Yes.
Very big thing in the queer community.
Yeah, rainbow family.
Yeah, it should be something that is included and a thing outside of that as well, because you don't get to pick your family that is like blood related, but you can pick your family that you actually want to spend time with.
Totally.
And it is a common trend that a lot of those people don't have family to spend time with. So it could also be a thing of, if your family is like, why aren't you spending it with us? It'd be like, well, this person doesn't have a family to spend their time with, so I'm going to spend it with them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's totally fair and reasonable.
Yeah.
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 Sad. Oh my God, and presents. So like, I don't know if this is something that everyone feels anxious about, but for as long as I can remember as a child, I hated with a passion having to open presents in front of people.
Really?
It is torture.
Wait, is this the thing of like, what if I hate this?
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, I just don't like people. I was very shy as a child.
Okay.
I didn't really speak at all until I kind of was in primary school, and I was like bullied quite a lot in primary school and only really had a few friends. And then I didn't really start to speak to strangers or adults until I was like 16.
Wow, okay.
I was like really, really shy. And even around my family, like I've never really felt a close connection or like an honest bond there.
Yeah.
So I never really felt like I trusted them to share things.
Okay.
I like, even as a child, you know, like I never felt like it was a safe space to, even your aunties and uncles are like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And yeah. I was like, I don't trust you. Like, I don't know, it was weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess like doing all these like strange things as a child made me feel really like looked like the odd one, because I was happy to just quietly like play in the corner by myself instead of like getting involved. And that was always my happy place, like away from everyone else.
Yeah.
And then being called back together and all of a sudden everyone has to sit down and all the, you know, the youngest.
Spectacle.
Yeah, the spectacle.
We're all going to open presents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And all of a sudden everyone's looking at you and they're all smiling at you, and then presents get brought over. And I used to be anxious about the smallest things, like what if I have to give out the presents and I can't read the handwriting and I don't know who this is to, or I don't know who this is from, or what if I open this present and it's not for me and it's for someone else and I've opened the wrong present, like
what if I
open it and I hate it, like what if I open it and I love it and then my sister's jealous and then she's upset, how do I make her feel better, like,
oh my gosh,
right, just like
yeah,
all of the things. I was such an anxious child, and oh no, even thinking about it now is awful. Like I just used to try and do it as undercover as possible.
Okay.
Like really slowly. So I would do it so that I would constantly be looking around the room to make sure that no one was looking at me.
Yeah.
And as no one was looking at me, I would like really slowly use my fingers to like peel off the tape, and I'd be so delicate, and I'd like fold up that bit of tape and then peel off it and then open up that corner, slide out the gift, delicately put it in a little corner, and then delicately open the next one. Like,
okay,
nobody look at me, nobody make a big deal, you know. And then your parents are like, okay, like go and thank everyone. And then you sort of have to, it always felt really militant of like going around and thank you, kissing your family. And I was like, gross.
Yeah.
Like, I never wanted my family to touch me. I didn't want to be hugged. I didn't want to be cuddled. I didn't want my hair brushed. Like, don't touch me. Don't talk to me. Like,
yeah.
Even as a young child.
Which, side note, is okay.
Oh my God, don't force your kids to be doing stuff. Stop making your kids to hug people. Yeah. Don't.
Consent.
Oh, fuck. And it's so insane. Mm. Like, because we don't think about it. We don't think about it.
Yeah.
Like,
nah.
Children, you know, we're just like, go and hug your nana. Go and do this. Oh, give your auntie a cuddle. Like, say hello. Like, we're constantly telling children, especially, like, how to behave, which is, of course, necessary.
Yeah.
But they need to make their own decisions about what they feel comfortable with.
Like, exactly.
Yeah. But also, like, also anxiety, like, because if my mum had said to me as a child, do you want to go and give your Omar a hug? Like, what am I going to say? No. Like, even though I don't want to.
Yeah.
You've asked me a question that I have to say yes to. So, like, that put anxiety and pressure on me as well. And I was like, you know, and carrying the presents, because I don't want to have to be the one to hand the gift over. I don't want to be the one to, like, drop the food. What if I drop the wine? Like, I don't want to be the first one to walk in the house. Like,
yeah.
You know, these are all, like, obsessive thoughts that, like, have plagued me since childhood.
Yeah.
And so, like, even before I was drinking, Christmas was never a fun affair for me. I was always, just very on edge. And I guess, just having a little RTR, real-time revelation here, that I guess it was because my mum's behaviour wasn't the best.
Oh, okay.
And so her drinking would really distress me, and then her attitude towards me would change quite dramatically and, you know, not be the best. And then my dad was not so great at being there or seeing or saying anything, which is whenever. Annie keeps pointing out that I would say, you know, it's fine. It's so not fine.
No.
And so the older I got, the more and more afraid of Christmas and confrontation and family that I became, because, like, what are they going to ask me about? Like, do I have a boyfriend? You know?
Yeah.
Classic, like, what do you want to be? Like, all of these scary adult questions that I don't have answers for. And that stuff I worried about from 12, you know? Like, and then I guess as an adult, no one in my extended family has really had much to do with me. And you can partly say, you know, obviously it takes two to tango. I haven't reached out to them. Yes. I haven't formed a relationship with them either. But I don't want to, and I'm happy with that. If they want a relationship with me, they can contact me at any point. But the point is that they haven't, and that's, again, it's not my responsibility. Like, and I guess I'm more kind of reassuring myself right now. But a lot of the time when we're sort of in this weird transitional stage for people in their sort of late 20s, early 30s, even mid 30s, you know, you're not quite an adult. Like, maybe you're not married, maybe you don't have kids yet, maybe you don't have a career, but I'm not a child either.
Yes.
And so it's like, and we're obviously such a different generation, so it's like they don't always understand what you're doing as well.
Yeah. I look in the ass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
that alone is like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've looked in the ass. I grew up in a situation that's completely different to those of my other cousins and my family, because we're like the one family that travelled instead of staying in Australia.
Yeah.
Me and my brothers are in this weird little age gap where we're not the same age as my older cousins and we're not the same age as my younger cousins. So we're smack bang in the middle.
Mm.
But we're also the next ones to be all like, oh, you're next in line to start having kids, to get married, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
So how do you avoid those situations?
I talk about other things.
Yeah.
Because I have so many other things going on where it's like, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, or I'll pivot the conversation, or I'll talk to my younger cousins who, and I'm sorry for doing this, but who are into Star Wars and I know we have similar interests.
Yeah.
Or we'll change the topic of conversation because that initial, what are you doing, et cetera, only lasts for about an hour and then you run dry.
Yeah.
And then it's like, cool, what do we talk about now?
Yeah.
And it's easier with my immediate extended family, but it's when it goes beyond that where it's like half my family's Italian.
Sure.
So it's massive and it's like, I've met you only at Christmas events and I know nothing about you.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's kind of how I feel about my whole family. Yeah, you know? Okay. Like I feel a real distance.
Yeah.
And I was like, it feels weird to go and pretend like we care about each other when you haven't spoken to me in 7 years, you know?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
I think I've got a real problem with the whole fucking dog and pony show that is Christmas.
Okay.
But I just feel like if we can't be all lovely and beautiful all year round, why are we fucking pretending on this one day?
Yeah,
you know? Like,
okay.
Why are we pretending like everything's fine and that there's no dramas and that your drinking isn't a huge issue and that you actually don't have the money to be paying for those gifts and actually you shouldn't be doing X, Y, Z or whatever it is.
Mm.
I don't know. I feel like everyone just wants to like keep up appearances and like my lights are better than your lights. And,
okay.
Like, you know, even on Instagram, like this is what I got for Christmas. This is my Christmas, my family Christmas. Like, I fucking hate Instagram over Christmas. I just, I'm not online. Like you won't see me.
Okay.
I just sort of drop off the radar. I tend to sleep a lot. Little depression naps.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't like seeing happy couples and don't like seeing happy children. Like, I'm honestly
it's really
bad. Like, it's really bad. Like, I hate the whole thing.
Yeah.
Very grinchy, very nasty.
No fair.
And I don't like buying gifts. I don't really buy gifts. I make everything.
Mm.
And that's what I enjoy. Like, my love language is like giving gifts instead of getting it. Like, I really, really, really love handmaking gifts. I always have loved that.
Yeah.
And I like receiving handmade gifts as well.
Yeah.
Like anything thoughtful.
Yeah. Is that your top love language?
No, acts of service.
Same.
Yeah.
Acts of service and then words of affirmation and then physical touch is just like well on the bottom.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so physical touch is super important to me, but sexual intimacy is not.
Yeah.
So like we could hold hands every single day for a month and that would be enough.
Yeah.
Like I don't need any more than that. Or like.
Nah.
You know, like the little, like a little walk past and a little shoulder graze there. That's cute. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, little, I appreciate that. But also.
Not a thing for you?
No.
It's fair.
I think it's just because my family isn't very affectionate.
Yeah.
Not physically affectionate and I haven't grown up with that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just did a little face that I do too. Yeah. I'm not affectionate with my family. Like when my family come at me, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. I was with someone for a very hot minute and he was like, his top one was physical touch.
Oh, no.
And I was just kind of like, oh, I can't do this.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, little side tangent, here we go. There are five common love languages.
I gotta look
them and up. Learning these love languages, what yours are and what your partner's are or what the people you're seeing's are super, super important because it helps you identify what that person needs from a relationship, what you need from a relationship, and how you can both accommodate to make each other feel happier. So words of affirmation is one of them. And that's, you know, it doesn't have to be, oh, my God, you're so amazing.
Yeah.
But it could be, I love you.
Yeah.
I love you because.
Yes. Or like, I really appreciated you doing this and X, Y, Z.
Yeah. Or, hey, I meant to tell you, I saw you do X, Y, Z the other day and I was really proud of you. Or this thing that you've been working on is going so well and I'm really impressed. Like,
yeah.
Those feel-good moments.
Yeah, using words to build up the other person.
Yeah.
The second one is gifts.
Yeah, like I would say that's probably on the bottom for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon it's like middle whatever. Then acts of service, so doing something for
acts of service is so integral for me. But do you know why I think that we're both like that?
Why?
Because we're both really fucking busy ladies.
True.
And we appreciate the help.
Yes.
Is that what it is for
100%.
You?
100%.
Yeah.
Where it's like you recognize that this is stressing me out, so you went and did it. Thank you very much.
Yes. So like for me, an act of service would be if Annie was like, hey, do you want me to help you set up your market stall?
Yeah, nice.
I was like, oh my God, what a legend. Like, yes, you've made my day, you know.
Yes.
Or I'll come and meet you and we'll pack down together or something.
Then there's quality time.
That's pretty important to me as well.
Yeah, same. Yeah, look, yes, but also I'm very busy.
Yeah, I'm also very busy.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I didn't live with Annie, I mean, I've got a strange relationship. I'm fucking obsessed with her. But, like, if I wasn't so obsessed, like, let's put Annie out of the way. She's, like, the odd one in this relationship sort of relationships, yeah, I've had. But previous relationships, I could be away for, like, a week at a time,
yeah,
and be busy.
Yeah.
And but then that would make me think, oh, maybe I don't love them. Maybe, yeah, I don't actually need them. Maybe I just want to be in a relationship so I'm not bored.
Yeah, fair.
But then I was like, oh, wait, no, that's just not the time. Like, I just – that's not what I value most about our relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. Yeah. And then the last one is physical touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would also like to say this is also good in the sense of you don't have to be, like, in a physical, like, loving relationship, like a your traditional relationship, yeah, in order for this to matter. It's, yeah, good with, like, friendships and totally, other relationships in your life too.
Like, I've got some friendships where I would be super fucking weirded out if they touched me at any point, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm a bit weird with physical touch. Like,
yeah.
Depends who it is. Like Annie, you know, she'll wear me like a second skin. But, yeah, like other people, I'm like, don't even come 2 steps to me. Like,
yeah, mm, yes.
And I do my little like promo stance, which is like 1 foot back and then the other foot at like a T, like a right angle against, yes, them. So that if they kind of try and step a little bit closer to you, so they accidentally trip on your foot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they go, oh, sorry. But it makes them realize how close they're getting.
Yeah.
And it's a really casual stance to have as well, yeah, if you want to practice that one at home. I don't know. Are you afraid for Christmas?
This is a tangent. Afraid for Christmas.
I mean, see, I use the word afraid. Like, I'm, yeah, afraid. Like,
wow. No, I'm looking forward to it. And I think that's because, yeah, it's
like why?
What, well, I get to spend time with my immediate family, yeah, right, and I get to see my parents.
And that's enjoyable for you.
It is enjoyable for me. Yeah. Sure. Because
you don't get to see them.
Yes. Mm. And I'm friends with my parents.
That's nice.
And Christmas is always nice because this is so relevant. We get to get drunk together and talk,
oh,
shit.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah. Pretty much.
But that's actually a thing for a lot of people. Like, yeah, getting drunk with their family is like a fun thing to do for them.
Yeah.
Like, if someone's not an abusive alcoholic, then yeah, I'm sure it's great. Like,
yes. Yeah. And like, we'll just get to spend time with each other anyway, and we're already starting to make plans. I get to see my extended family, including my aunties who don't live in Adelaide, who I know a couple of them listen. Thank you.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, it's very cute. And I get to see them. Yeah, it's always been the one time of the year throughout most of my teenage plus life that I've gotten to see my extended family because, yeah, I didn't grow up here.
That is nice then, I guess.
Yeah. And it's also, look, it's Star Wars season.
Yeah.
And it's, I guess this is the first time where I'm going to be, the first year where I'm going to be spending more time with my chosen family and friends.
Yeah.
Like I'm hosting, mm-hmm, an event, mm-hmm, which I'm looking forward to because it's a nice thing of like, here are all the people I enjoy.
Do you want me to bring a tinsel, mm-hmm, wall?
Yes, please. Yeah, tinsel wall. Definitely.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I can go in the living room. That could work. Yeah.
Anyway.
Just planning on the podcast. And then, yeah, I get to not do, like, I'm not
see
busy.
The rest.
Yeah, I get to rest. I get to spend, mm-hmm, time with people that I love. I think, yeah, the rest is the biggest one for me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, and it's a time where me and my immediate family are starting to create traditions, which is something that we've never had,
yeah,
and something that I hope will continue for the rest of my life.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I'm kind of jealous.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Like, I feel kind of bitter, I guess. And, yeah, like, I feel like this episode I feel like I can hear myself sounding quite guarded about it and,
yeah,
quite like, you know, this is shit, but it's fine. Like, it's obviously not fine. Do you, yeah, know what I mean? Like, it's, let's be real here. Like, I'm obviously not fine about it. Like, it does really upset me. It is a major, major issue for me. Like,
mm,
my tragic relationship with my family is like a massive part of why I'm in therapy, but, and a massive, massive, huge, almost sole reason for why I drank. So it's all very, very deeply intertwined, and a big part of the reason why I drink is because I hate myself, but I hate myself because of my family, like, or because of my upbringing. And so that's all sort of tied in together. It's all very messy and gross. And I guess it's been really difficult to, I guess during this last 2 week period, I feel like I've been fooling myself with how much recovering I've done because I feel like I've just hit the real issue.
Okay.
Like, I feel like the real issue was just uncovered. Like, I always knew it, but, yeah, it was just like, I feel like I have finally done enough work that I can get to this point now where,
yes,
I can begin to address this.
Yeah.
Like a year ago, the idea of me telling my parents that I was an alcoholic was just laughable.
Like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
We have the recorded proof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like when I did tell them, I was just like, fuck it, it's done now.
Yeah.
Like it's out there. They can do with the information what they will.
Mm.
And I think that for my parents, the biggest thing is probably like the shame. Like they don't want to tell other people. I imagine they'll be quite embarrassed about that for me.
Okay.
Well, not for me, for them.
Yeah.
But I'm not embarrassed. Like, I'm really proud.
Yeah.
And I know I'm making, like, the fucking messages that we get and the people that talk to me. And, like, you guys have stopped coming up to me in the streets, which is great. Thanks a bunch. Like, honestly, appreciate
they
it.
Listened.
They listened. Truly.
Really?
Like, yeah, and I've had a few. And do you know what else I really, really, really appreciate, listeners? When you begin your messages with, is it all right if I?
Nice.
Because asking for consent before you lay a whole bunch of shit on us is really appreciated, and I totally understand that sometimes you're just desperate to get some information out and talk to it, and I get it.
Don't talk to me anymore.
They don't talk to me. Like, I've encountered people at events and stuff like that who've been like, oh, I listened to the podcast. Like, there was three in 1 week once, and I was like, yeah. Oh, thank you. Cool.
Yeah, Peter Ann saw you at the Ruby Awards and was like, oh, you're the other voice on the podcast. You're this person,
yeah. Speaking of, we actually got another review the other day.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. Another 5-star review.
Great.
Thanks. You can go do that as well if you want, dear listener. Called Adelaide Relatability, saying easy to relate to, listen to and absorb. I appreciate that the creators are from my town. Adelaide represent. That's me, not the comment. It reminds me that the scope of the issues discussed are present and real in my city and to the others around me.
Yes.
It's quite nice.
Yeah, it's shocking, shocking, shocking to me how common it is.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, so over Feast and Pride Month in November.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even debrief that.
Yeah, we haven't even debriefed that, but that was full on. Oh. But even during that, I come across another couple of sober people in that queer network.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, how do you – and they both DJ, actually. I was like, how do you do that? Like, how do you go out to clubs? Like, that's insane to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, both of them have said, oh, no, it's quite fun, and I'll just have energy drinks or, like, a cigarette or – whatever, and they've both been really confident and competent and, like, it's no big thing. And it's just, like, they're the other things like that that make me feel, like, weak when I'm like, how can I feel like I'm so far along my recovery journey but I couldn't ever, like, those situations seem so out of reach.
Okay.
But then I guess I have to look at telling my parents was out of reach.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to keep on keeping on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely some Christmas parties that I've just sort of not gone to this year.
Yeah.
Because FOMO is such a thing, like sober FOMO.
Yes, yes. And not just, the festival, the feeling.
Yes, the FOMO, fear of missing out. Yes. Because I'm just like, you know what, like I do every bloody Sunday morning, you guys make drinking look real fun. Like, I just flick through Instagram stories, you know, and everyone's like, literally, almost every post is people out on Saturday nights, like at house parties, in town, like at work even, like behind the bar, in hospo, whatever. And everyone just looks like they're having such a sick time.
Yeah.
And it's really annoying to remind myself that if it was you, you wouldn't be having a sick time.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, you are an alcoholic. You cannot do it at all. Like,
and also, if you're watching it on a Sunday morning, they're probably still asleep, passed out from the night before. And when they wake up in 3 hours, feel like shit.
Yeah.
And you don't.
Yeah.
All right, shall we do highlights?
Of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool.
What are yours?
Oh, God, I don't know. We're talking, like, podcast-related,
yeah?
What am I – I mean, we did the thing. We bloody well
we did the
spanned
podcast.
It. Yeah. We got Ryan. That's a highlight.
That is
Ryan's
a highlight.
Yay.
Yeah, Ryan makes life really easy for us.
Yeah.
Does all the technical sound things.
I think a highlight was definitely posting – like uploading that first episode and seeing people listen to it.
Yeah.
And respond to it.
Almost instantly.
Yeah. And resonate with it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like every time someone is like, oh, I listened to the thing. Or like if they reach out, I had someone message me today actually. Thanks, Jason. a man listens. What? Reach out and say, yeah, I have been listening and I have resonated with this. Thanks for doing the thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the best part for me has been feedback from people. And like, do you know what? The best thing was actually probably like coming out. Like,
yeah.
Because it was always just this embarrassing, well known joke. You know, like Tash is an alcoholic. Lel.
Mm.
Tash is a classic alcoholic. And, you know, Caitlin, I know you and I and Annie and lots of other people that I go out with, people lean into me now and they say, see that girl? She's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. Like whenever I'm out and about at pubs or like whatever, especially when I'm at gigs, people will come over and confide in me who they think are alcoholics in the room.
Yeah.
And it happens really regularly.
Yeah.
And number one, like that's no one else's position to like say something like that. And also if you are making such blatant comments purely based on assumption, like you could reach out to that person.
Yeah.
Or you could reach out to a person in that person's network and sort of say like, hey, I've been noticing such and such. Looks like they're having some trouble. Are they okay? Like it doesn't have to be your responsibility, but maybe even just letting their friends know, because sometimes it can be hard to say even when it's right in front of you. Yeah. You know? And if you're an enabler especially.
Yes.
But yeah, I definitely think being out and like being a proud, sober woman, you know, like it is actually quite a good feeling. Like when I especially when I hang out in bars and stuff now, like I went to the Cranker for the absolutely amazing Teenage Jones single launch. It was so sick.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so good. Those girls are incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, like hanging out there and I was like sober and proud. Like, you know, I could see all these other people getting a bit messy and I'm like, haha, not me, suckers. Like, you know, and that's kind of almost like a elitist kind of feeling of like, I'm not going to be a hungover mess. Like, I'm sober and fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I think definitely the feedback that we've been getting and knowing that I've helped some people come to their own conclusions as well has been a real highlight.
Yeah. I think I knew that was going to happen from the moment we recorded that first episode, just given what happened straight after it.
Yeah.
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 It's full on.
Mm. Ryan?
Yeah.
What about you? Any highlights?
Podcast highlights?
Well, just the general involvement's been pretty nice. Aww. I think it's nice that I'm using my quote-unquote skills to, like, help your platform. And, you know, I feel vicariously validated. Like, it's a constructive and cathartic process. It's nice to see your ongoing monitoring and ongoing growth, and you're just going from strength to strength. And it's nice to hear back from the community, though I'm not very close with your circles, I suppose. It's just nice to feel like I am included, sort of thing.
Definitely.
And it's also nice to kind of be the little guy in the corner that has the occasional throw.
In the corner.
Nobody puts Rai Rai in the corner.
No, I hate Dirty Dancing
merch.
Sorry, yep.
It's nice. And it's also nice occasionally I have a little bit of catharsis as well.
Yeah.
Whenever I do get like the occasional throw, because I think that as a straight middle class white male, you know, it puts me at a disposition that's different to a lot of, you know, other people. And I know I'm very aware that I have all the advantages in the world, but I am also like very aware of the shittiness and the abuse of those advantages by other people who have won the lottery of being that lineup of things.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It's just been nice that I get given the opportunity every now and then to be the guy on the side who goes, hey, if there's anyone out there who kind of shares my characteristics, just be a fucking ally to the common community of this program, you know?
Yeah.
Just be a fucking champion. Be a champion of the underdogs and don't abuse your shit. Use it for good and stuff like that, you know?
Totally.
So, yeah, I really do cherish that and I really thank you guys for including me.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Of course.
Cute, everyone. We're actually going to take a little break.
Yes.
So when Caitlin and I first discussed this podcast, we said, look, let's do a 10-episode guarantee.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes and then we'll reevaluate.
Mm-hmm.
I think our 10th episode has come perfect timing just before the most traumatic moment of my life. Oh. So, and I, you know, as I said to Caitlin, I don't think that I could live report on what's going to happen over Christmas and New Year's. That's often quite a stressful time. But we will be coming back early February.
Yes.
We will have rebranded.
Woohoo!
We will still be Why Am I Like This. We will still have the great recovery content that you know and love. But we'll be adding in a few more interviews, which was definitely our intention with this podcast. But it turns out we've got a lot to say. So if you do know someone or you would like to come on the podcast, shoot us an email at
justwhypod
at gmail.com.
Yeah. So what can people entertain themselves with for the 2 months that we're on our brief little hiatus? Less than 2 months.
Okay.
What have you been watching?
So I listen to podcasts about shows that I don't watch.
What?
So one of them, and do you know what it is? It's this weird thing where I've kind of feel like I've infiltrated this weird Hollywood, these LA group of podcasters.
Okay.
So, like, obviously I haven't actually infiltrated them. I think they're my friends because I listen to them.
Yeah.
But it's like Molly McAleer from Mother May I Sleep With podcast.
Okay.
And basically it's so great. She has all these different guests on and she reviews terrible Lifetime movies. Like it's great. I just, her commentary is really funny.
Yeah.
But then there's this other podcast called Hollywood Crime Scene and Rachel and Desi on there like crack me up, but they also know Molly.
Yeah.
So like sometimes they like cross podcasts. And then there's another one that's like 90 Day Fiancé Slumber Party, which is like Rachel from Hollywood Crime Scene on this 90 Day Fiancé podcast. And as you know, I have got the 90 Day Fiancé goss, so I cannot wait for like to catch up in real time so that I can write in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
That's my jam.
Yeah. Mm. I only really listen to 3 podcasts, which is Welcome to Night Vale, which I love, Science Versus, which I also love, and there's a producer called Caitlin on there, which is great. And is it Gimlet Media? I want to say it's Gimlet Media. And it's just debunking a lot of sciencey stuff.
That's
and as
cool.
a not naturally sciencey person, I can understand what they're saying, which is great.
I actually do love a lot of Wondery podcasts. I really like that as like a podcast platform.
Yeah.
They're really good. Like Dr. Death and Snowball, that thing that's an ABC one. But yeah, they're so good. I love the investigative journalism ones.
Yes.
They get me hooked.
Yeah.
And then I like women podcasters.
Yeah.
I know I've referenced them before, but A is for Alcoholic.
Yeah, okay.
It's a podcast that I really get around. It's conversational like this. It is too fully grown men, and it's weird how much I relate to them.
Okay.
But they're just really honest, and I guess they look at sobriety the same way I do, in that it's an extremely flexible and unique thing for everybody, and everybody does it differently.
Yeah.
And they really have a great understanding of that and explain a lot of different coping mechanisms and, a lot of different ways
to
go about it. So I really, really enjoy that.
The third one I listen to is Side Door, which is the podcast from the Smithsonian, which I love.
Yeah.
Oh, except they changed their host recently, but I'm into her. I think I'm a fan. I am a fan. The one I want to listen to is the We Are Living Cute podcast.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
We Are Living Cute. Yep. So I'm not all the way caught up.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yes.
That is a fantastic podcast. Yeah,
by two fantastic women.
Yes.
Who we fully support. In terms of TV shows, I started watching Years and Years, which is the one that everyone has been talking about. Everyone. Emma Thompson is in it. It's like Black Mirror, but more real, free to watch on SBS if you are Australian-based. Mm-hmm. And it's looking at, look, I've only seen the first episode, and it's a lot because it's looking at the current issues, also bringing it forward 20, 30 years and seeing what happens.
See, upsetting, depressing,
scary.
Yeah, fair. Can't do it.
But, like, smart TV.
So yeah, I only watch trash.
That's okay. And I've also been, I finished season 3 of The Dragon Prince yesterday because I do watch animations.
Yeah.
I'm
watching this random show with Annie on Stan called Drop Dead Diva.
I've seen this.
I
haven't watched it, but I've seen it.
Yeah, it's kind of great. It's lighthearted. It's funny. Like, the main characters, got a really great disposition.
Yeah.
Makes a smile.
Yeah.
Music, I've just been listening to my 29 review, which is just, it's a lot of La Dispute, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Which I love. Yeah, I mean, if you guys can always listen to our playlist, Why Do I Like This? It's under Annie Siegman's Spotify playlist. Follow that. She's also got other great playlists such as Important Disco and Adelaide Faves.
Nice. I've been listening. My top 2019 was just Angie McMahon every like third song.
Who's a legend, yeah.
Oh, amazing. I'm surprised Herbert Johnson didn't make his way in there because I've been cranking him for the last month.
Yeah, the full album is in my
2019. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hit Subaru Crosstrek.
What a tune.
Also, is it Me and the Cockroach?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Look, they're all great. Do yourself a favor and listen to Herbert Johnson. It's a unique take on rap.
Yeah.
I just want to have a little rant about something.
Okay.
We're going a little bit off topic quickly, but I thought of it today and it really annoyed me. So people that are too quick to pat themselves on the back, right?
Okay.
You got to be super careful with that shit. Like, I'm not going to gender this, but I was going to say men especially, but no, in my experience,
yeah.
It is commonly men that do this. In terms of sobriety, I've noticed especially, I've had over the last couple of years, I've noticed certain people pop up and start spouting about how alcohol is the devil and alcohol ruined my life and being sober is the best thing you can ever do and being really self-righteous about it and, you know, sober 13 days, best decision I've ever made, like whatever. That's fucking sick and I'm proud for you, dude, but get a journal. Like, no, seriously. Like,
yeah.
It's not the platform. Like,
okay.
Join the AA group. Do you know what I mean? Like, talk about it there. Like, I understand. Maybe you need people to keep you accountable. Totally. Like, I do get it. But there's a difference between posting and saying, like, hey, family and friends, I just want you to know I've been struggling with alcohol. Please, these are the things that I need. This is what I'm doing for myself.
Yes.
Rather than, like, boasting about every day that you, like, feel that you are succeeding. You know, it's not a competition. It's not a race. Like,
no.
It's one day at a time for the rest of your fucking life. Stop counting, mate. Like, and I just think bragging about sobriety, I just don't think it's cool.
Okay.
And I think it's, like, a slap in the face to people that are struggling.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy for everyone.
No.
What really shits me is when all of a sudden after a couple of months they go really quiet and all of a sudden they're not talking about it anymore. And then all of a sudden they're in these pictures and all of a sudden they're back at Red Square and they're back at the pub and they've got all these pictures of pints in their hand. And it's like, oh, sorry, I thought alcohol was the devil. I thought that, like, you know, you changed your ways and all this bullshit. But, like, it just really annoys me. It just seems like a really privileged thing to do.
Yeah, fair.
And then there's never any accountability. Like, it's like, haha, lol, back on the booze. And it's like, no, dude, like, you made a very public commitment. Like,
yeah.
That's exactly why I didn't say shit about my sobriety until 1 year. Like,
yeah.
Because I was like, I don't know if I can do this and I need to do this on my own and it's none of anyone else's business. Like, anyway, that's totally my opinion. Everyone needs to recover in their own way. And if sharing that on Facebook works for you, then totally do it. But be aware that people might be judging you.
Yeah.
And that you will look like a fucking asshole if you go back on it. Like, you just look like a dick.
No fair.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Yes.
Is there anything that you've been listening to or consuming that we can pop in before Tash's tangent?
Well, besides the usual stuff, which is Radiohead and Thom Yorke and anything that Thom Yorke does, I've been getting into, and I think it might be a little bit of a product of Seabass and stuff, I've been getting into Tropical Fuckstorm recently. Oh, yeah. And I fucking love it.
I'm sorry, who?
Tropical Fuckstorm. So do you know the band The Drones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's Gareth Lydiard's new band.
Cool.
And it's him and, surprise, surprise, three other females
behind him.
Well, together, I should say.
Yeah.
And they fucking rule. They're so cool. They are so, so cool. And it's like not my kind of cup of tea.
Yeah.
It's like noise art, effectively, like very punk rock, very like garagey, loud, aggressive. I think it really appeals to the artist in me.
Yeah.
I guess. Like, it's like, oh, this is just so cool and like just so grassroots and kind of just, we don't give a fuck. We're gonna make a lot of noise, put it on record, and it just sounds amazing. And also, like, Gareth Lydiard is quite a revered musician, but he's just a very awesome lyricist as well. And I think that's what he sings about is largely political. Sometimes you listen to like a political band and they just sound like they're whining about the government and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
The way he words things, it's just, it's for the people.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, it's really cool. So Tropical Fuckstorm.
You should listen to Psychedelic Porn Crumpet.
Yeah, I've heard of those guys as well.
Yeah, they're good too.
But yeah, I'll have to get into those guys.
Yes.
I don't know, Seabass.
Have you been watching, reading anything?
How's Mario Kart? Is it still deleted?
I deleted that
shit. Well done. That's good.
I'm gone. Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you've committed to that.
yeah. It's definitely for the better. Ooh, shows. Me and my girlfriend, we've been watching. This is a show that Dolly Parton made.
What?
Yeah, on Netflix called like Heartstrings or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it's great. It's like very feel good. It's like every episode's a different cast and stuff, different story, but she kind of makes these episodes based off like her famous songs and stuff. So like the first song is about Jolene. And in her song, Jolene is like
the other woman.
The other woman.
Yeah.
But in the show, she writes the character Jolene as like, actually, you don't know Jolene. She's got a bit going on, and like you know, don't judge a book by its cover sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
So it's kind of like really cool that she sort of flips these song characters into different spectrums with her show and stuff. And it's quite contemporary and quite progressive, like the issues that it brings up and stuff. And it sort of navigates these really kind of heady issues that we all sort of face in our day to day. And everything sort of does get resolved, but not without its complications. Yeah. And all the rest. It's quite a great show, actually.
I love you guys consuming all this like really intelligent like,
media.
media. And I'm like, I listen to 90 Day Fiancé podcast and I don't watch 90 Day Fiancé. Like.
When you said that you watched, that you listened rather to podcasts about TV shows, I was waiting for you to be like, oh, yeah, I've been listening to like The West Wing weekly. Like, oh, not watching The West Wing.
But I'm sometimes like, I listen to Married at First Sight weekly catch ups. I listen to catch ups of like The Bachelorette, like random episodes from random, because I just need the voices in my head that aren't my own.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I need a whole different girl gang up there, like chatting about all sorts of shit.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll read the articles. I always read the junky articles when The Bachelor or The Bachelorette's on.
Yeah, I read some of those. Yeah. A lot of BuzzFeed shit, like Dance Moms was on TV the other day. And surely that's child abuse. Like, I was watching, I was like, this is abuse, right? Like, the way that they're speaking to each other. Like, I've learned one thing from therapy. It's that almost everything an adult does to you is going to deform you in some way. Yeah.
Ooh, that's it.
I feel like that's it.
That's it.
I mean, it's been a really emotional time, guys.
Ah.
Let's see how many days sober I am.
Dun, 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 dun. Whilst Tash is looking that up, you can support us on Patreon. We will have something special for you for Christmas. If you happen to support us in time, all of our current supporters, thank you so much. I don't think there's anyone new to give a shout out to, but like, know that you're in my heart
forever.
On and on. Think of that Phil Collins song from Tarzan, because you'll be in my heart.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Now I really want to watch Tarzan.
Maybe we can cut that in at the end.
Please. 10 seconds of it.
I have been sober for 495 days.
Nearly 500.
Which is 1 year and 4 months and 8 days.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I have, so it tells me how much money I've saved.
Ooh.
But it's actually not that much because I was a really cheap drunk. So believe it or not, it's actually only $2,475.
Wow. That's a fair bit of money, though.
Not really. Like, well, not considering I've been sober for a year and a half, like, almost.
Yeah, fair.
But it's nice that you have that in your pocket.
Okay, but listen to the time, right? So the time I've saved, 495 hours.
Wow.
How many days is that? 400. What did I say? 495.
5 divided by 24.
20 days.
Oh my
god. 20 entire full days.
Wow.
I have saved.
That's insane.
20. That's almost an entire month that I would have spent completely blackout drunk.
Yeah.
Like, or at the pub.
That's crazy.
It is insane. Ooh. Well, onwards and upwards.
Yeah.
Looking forward to coming back in February. Yes. And
you got a quote for us?
Yeah. Oh.
Ryan, doing my job.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, thank you.
I mean, intervene.
I think just something about like do the best you can, no matter how small that is. It's very similar to my take the first step.
Yeah.
I just feel like try to love yourself.
Yeah.
That's a big ask. Let's just say try not to hate yourself. Is that manageable?
No, yeah, fair, definitely.
Yeah.
I've got a little one to throw onto the plow.
Yeah.
Never have a court. Yeah, go for it.
If it's cold, put a jumper on.
What?
Oh, no, yeah. I get what you're saying.
What are you saying?
I'm saying if it's cold, put a jumper on. I'm saying if you're going through some shit, go for it. Go and attack it. Try and fix it.
Yeah.
Don't feel like you owe the jumper anything or you have to pay for that jumper.
Yeah, actually, it's like a Peter Drew quote that he's got on a lot of his art at the moment. It's my responsibility and I'm going to fix it.
Yeah,
there's a poster that he's got going around.
Okay,
and I know I've shared it to the Why Am I Like This pod before. But that's a good one.
Yeah,
and I think that. Yeah,
do I have a quote?
You don't need to have a quote.
Yeah, I'm very sorry. But the one that keeps coming up is, it is a Star Wars quote. I'm very, very sorry. And it's the iconic one.
I am your father.
No, it is the do or do not, there is no try.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, which is something my father says quite a lot.
But I mean, like, I don't know, because like trying's important, right?
I think in the act of trying, you're doing something anyway. I think that's what that quote means. Like, okay. Do or do not, there is no try. Like, you're either doing something or you're not doing something.
Okay, I can get around that.
Yeah.
Look, basically, guys, take responsibility for your own bullshit. Yeah. Like, no one else is going to do it for you.
Exactly. I'd like to acknowledge that a lot of this episode and Christmas time is a very Western-centric point of view. It's a very, like, Christian holiday, that's what it is. It's based on capitalism. It is 100% Western society. And I know that most of our some of our listeners may not be coming from a Western background and may not be celebrating Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
This is a holiday festive season anyway. And I think a lot of what we said is applicable to not only this time of the year, but to every time as well. And if you have an experience that we have not spoken about, please let us know, because realistically, we are three white people. And that is our experience and that is what we know. And a whole part of this is learning and finding out more.
Absolutely. The best thing, like, you should never be ashamed of not knowing all the information. Like, knowing more information and finding more things out is how you grow and how you change your opinion.
Yeah.
And, like, don't be afraid to change your opinion. That's literally how opinions work. Like,
definitely.
They change based on new information.
Yes. And if you are listening to this and you find that you're not finding a bit of representation in your own story in this, please let us know and we can expand.
Absolutely.
No, not expand. We can talk to people who do share your experiences.
Yeah, and who represent you.
Yeah.
Great.
Email us at justwhypod@gmail.com.
That's it.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, what do you want for Christmas?
To
be left alone.
I want some socks that are nice so that when I wear a cool outfit, Tash doesn't look down and be like, your socks could be better.
That has happened once.
I know, and I think about it so often. I really do. I really, really do.
Your socks could be better.
I also want cooler earrings. Okay. I would like, rather. Want is a very, I sound like a petulant child being like, I want this.
No, that's fine.
I want cool earrings. I did it again. And I want some books. Buy me books if you want to. If you want to get me anything.
There is actually a mailing address in our Instagram link.
So is there?
Yeah, there is. So if you want to send us a postcard, a letter, fan mail, anything, then you can send it to my parcel collect.
This is like a teenage dream of mine to receive fan mail.
Yeah, I would love
fan mail. Not that anyone's a fan of me, but like whatever.
I'm a fan of you.
Greatland.
Cute, thanks.
Look, we're just wrapping on. We've been wrapping up this podcast for like 40 minutes. So goodbye.
Bye.
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 We'll be back in February. By anything said in this episode, please contact Lifeline at 13 11 14 or www.lifeline.org.au. Why Am I Like This is a weekly good production produced by Caitlin Ellen Moore and hosted by Tash. The audio for this podcast was recorded and edited by Ryan Martin John. The Why Am I Like This jingle was created by Annie Siegman and Ryan Martin John. Why Am I Like This was recorded and produced on Kaurna lands, and we pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Thanks for listening.